This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of Mac's List. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today from one of Top Resume's expert writers. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Today's guest says there are no shortcuts to finding your next job. You need to put in the time and the work. But he also believes there's one strategy that can make all the difference. Jason Alba is here to talk about why informational interviews are the silver bullet every job search needs. He's the founder and creator of Jibberjobber, the six-week job search program. Jason is also a soft skills and career expert for Pluralsight. He joins us from Salt Lake City. Well, let's jump right into it, Jason. Why do you believe informational interviews are so important in a job search?
Mac, it took me years to figure this out. I'd go around the country speaking at different job clubs and talking to people who were in the job search. And, you know, I talk a lot about what a lot of the other career experts talk about with LinkedIn profiles and networking and all this stuff. And one day, you know, after being in this for years, I just realized that informational interviews is kind of the package of all of the good things that they say to do in a job search. It is networking and finding the right people to talk to. It's having the right networking conversations. It's asking for introductions and referrals. And it's following up. It's nurturing relationships that should be long-term professional relationships. All of these great things that people say to do are really wrapped up into this one little thing called informational interviews.
Can you do a successful job search, Jason, without doing an informational interview or any at all?
Absolutely. I mean, I remember one time I was sitting across the table from somebody at a lunch, and I said, "Man, what's your story? How did you get this amazing job?" And I was expecting him to talk about his networking and all that kind of stuff that we're supposed to do. And he said, very nonchalantly, he's like, "Well, you know, I just found a job on Monster, and I applied for it, and I got it." And I was like, "Wait a minute, you're breaking all the rules here. Like, it's not supposed to be that easy." I recognize that informational interviews isn't the only way to get a job, but what I've seen in my own job search, or searches, I should say, and in a lot of the job searches that I am involved with you know, Jibberjobber clients or people that I meet around the country in job clubs, people are kind of like, "Okay, I've applied to every job I can find. I've talked to everybody I can think of talking to. I just don't know what to do now." And I'm not saying that you should save informational interview strategies for that time when you're kind of out of other ideas, but this is the thing that I think will really boost most job searches, especially the ones that are stuck.
Do you find, Jason, that many job seekers do informational interviews, or is this something that only a minority of candidates do?
Yeah, I mean, really, you know, when I'm in a room of, say, 100 people and I say, "Who in here is doing an informational interview?" Maybe I'll get 8 to 10 hands. Like, very, very few people are actually doing what they think are informational interviews. And then my next question is, who is getting value out of informational interviews? Like, are they working for you? And maybe I'll get 2 or 3 people. Like, out of 100 people, 2 or 3 people say that they're actually getting value out of informational interviews. So, I mean, you can read a lot about them. People talk about them. They write about them superficially. I've never really found a lot of in-depth information. I go speak at outplacement companies, you know, companies that a company will pay thousands of dollars for you to go through their program. And even they don't do a lot with informational interviews. So it's a great strategy. It's an amazing strategy. It takes work. And I think that's why some people shy away from it. But really, there just isn't a whole lot of information on how to effectively do informational interviews.
Well, let's talk about what informational interviews can do for you. I know that in your work, you say that there are four purposes to an informational interview, and I'd like to walk through those, Jason. The first of them is to learn. Tell us, what do you mean by that?
Well, I mean, I don't want you to go talk to somebody and, you know, say, hey, Matt, can I get on the phone with you for like 20 or 30 minutes? I have some questions. If I have questions, I really should go in wanting answers to those questions, right? Like this isn't a Trojan horse strategy. It's not a bait and switch strategy. You really should be learning about an organization, about opportunities, about perspectives from the person that you're talking with. Like, this is your opportunity to talk to an insider. And I might say something like, Mac, I see that you've been at this company or in this industry for the last 20 years. Give me some insight. Like, is it as great as what it looks like on the outside? What are some things you love about it? And what are some things that you'd rather, you know, not have to deal with? I do want you to learn from these informational interviews.
And how is that going to help you as a candidate get your next job?
Well, I mean, can you imagine if you talk to 10 or 20 people that are in, you know, either the organization or the industry or the role that you're interested in, and you go in for an interview, like a real job interview, and they ask you some questions? Can you imagine the amount of information that you can have put together because of those conversations that you've had with those 10 or 20 people? Like, there's so much insider information that can be so valuable for you to bring into a real job interview and sound maybe a lot smarter than you would sound if you haven't had those conversations.
Why do people agree to take those meetings, Jason? Because I'm sure when you've talked to people with job search clubs, they say, well, I've tried that. I wrote or called this person or that person and no one got back to me. Why do folks say yes?
I mean, definitely you're going to have some people who say no, or they'll ghost you or whatever. Some people are just not going to be, they're going to be too busy. But there are really a lot of people that want to be helpful. I mean, honestly, if you go to somebody and you ask them genuinely for 20 or 30 minutes of their time to share their insights and their opinions, especially if they know that, you know, you're in transition or you're looking at different opportunities and you want to get, you know, their insider perspective, people generally want to help. And I think that's the main reason why people will take their time and have that call. If they've been in a job search, especially recently, they should be a lot more open to wanting to help, because they're like, well, I know the pain and the hurt that you're going through right now. And if I can help you through a 20-minute phone call, then let's get on a call for 20 minutes.
Why do people say no to those meetings?
Well, I mean, I remember before I got involved in the job search world, I was an IT manager and I had a lot of meetings all day long. I was balancing a whole bunch of different projects and I just was overwhelmed, you know, and I might have felt like, you know, maybe you want to have a quote unquote informational interview, which, by the way, most job search experts say don't ask for a job search interview. Ask for like 20 or 30 minutes of their time. But if you were to come and ask me for something and I had any hint that it wasn't going to be productive, that it was going to be a waste of my time, that maybe you were just asking me because you wanted an introduction to my boss or that you wanted to know about job openings or something like that, I would have been, you know, more inclined to not take the meeting. But, you know, really, if somebody doesn't take your meeting, don't be offended. Just move on to the next person. There are plenty of people that you can go talk to, and one or two no's is not going to break your job search.
How can you make the request in a way that signals to the person or makes them think, oh, this will be productive, this is worth my time?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I already said, you know, I gave you an example a couple minutes ago. Hey, Mac, you know, you've been in this industry for 20 years or whatever. I'd love to get some insight. And I might give, I mean, we're talking about maybe two or three sentences worth of content, right? So I might say something like, I've been looking at changing fields or changing careers, and I'm looking at a few opportunities. I'm really interested in the work that you've been doing or the companies that you've been at or something like that. So if you show them that you're serious about really getting information that they might be able to provide to you, and that you really are, that they really are somebody that you have real questions for, I think they might be more inclined. Like I said, if you come across in any way where it's like, is this person really just trying to get an introduction to my boss? I don't think that's going to go over well at all.
How about general requests, Jason? Do you find those are effective? I'm thinking, for example, let's meet for coffee or can I pick your brain?
I think those are okay if you put some context on it, right? I mean, I'm kind of busy generally. I have a pretty busy schedule. And if you asked me, you know, hey, Jason, can we meet up at the Starbucks or whatever? I'd like to pick your brain about something. If it is as vague as that, I need more information. I need to know if it's worth my time to travel 20 or 30 minutes and to schedule an hour or so out of my day. I really have to understand if I'm the right person that we should be talking with. There's a real purpose. So I'm okay if you start off general, but I really like it if you put context on top of the general.
We're going to take a break, Jason. When we come back, I want to talk about the second purpose of an informational interview, understanding your brand. So stay with us. Jason Albo will continue to share his advice about why informational interviews are the silver bullet every job search needs. You should bring your resume to every informational interview. Is yours ready for prime time? Find out what the experts think. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Top Resume will tell you for free what you're doing right with your resume, what you're doing wrong, and how to fix it. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Don't watch the next person you meet frown while looking at your resume. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the MaxList studio. I'm talking with Jason Alba. He's the founder and creator of JibberJobber, the 6-week job search program. Jason is also a soft skills and career expert for Pluralsight, and he joins us from Salt Lake City. Now, Jason, we're talking about informational interviews, and you say they have four purposes. The first is to learn, and we not only talked in the first segment about what you might learn from these conversations, but some of the mechanics about how to go about making an ask that people are likely to say yes to. Let's talk about that second purpose, which is to understand your brand. Now, tell us more about that.
So by the time I get done with my informational interview, right, this 20 or 30 minutes that I get with you at a coffee shop or in your office or over the phone or whatever, I want you to walk away thinking, okay, I understand who Jason Alba is and I like him. I understand that these are what some of his strengths are. He came across as a good communicator, right? So branding is such a complex thing. But here's the end result of that. If you walk into a meeting with your team and your boss says, hey, we just got approval for 2 new hires, does anybody know anyone that they would refer for these 2 positions? I want you to think about me, right? And of course, that's not going to fit every time. But if I'm a programmer and they are looking, or let's say product manager, I'm a product manager and they're looking for 2 product managers, because of the 20 or 30 minute informational interview that we had together, I want you to think, man, you know, Jason had some really smart questions about product management. He had some good observations about the industry and current events and the news and all that stuff. All of those things wrap up into what my quote unquote brand is, or the way I phrase that is how others perceive you, right? So it's not like you're going to be able to go and say, hey, I'm an awesome product manager, and next time you guys have an opening, you should hire me. But after that 20 or 30 minutes, you will have perceived me as a certain way. And hopefully you'll have perceived me as someone who has the product management skills of having good conversations and asking good questions and being able to communicate well, presenting well, you know, all of those different things. That's what I'm talking about with the objective of branding yourself during an informational interview.
And when you request a meeting like this, you're really in charge of it, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's your meeting, right? And so a lot of times I think people are intimidated because especially the job seeker who's like, well, I don't have a job, so I'm lower on the pecking order. Like, I'm a third class citizen. I did not feel like a first class citizen when I was in my job search. And so you go in and meet with somebody who has a job and they have a management title and they have a fancy office and all this stuff. And it's like, oh, well, normally when I'm in this situation, they're in charge and I kind of go by what they want to do. But really, when you go into this informational interview, you have to understand two things. First, you asked for it, so you got to drive it. Like, you have to decide how the conversation goes. You should come with questions ready. You're not going to get to all of them. You're not like a reporter that's going down the list of you know, here's my 12 questions that I need to ask you. You want to have a conversation with these people. But if there's a lull or if it goes to a wrong place, it's your opportunity and your responsibility to bring it back together. The other really important thing about this is I don't want you to go in thinking, I'm a third class citizen, I'm a job seeker, I have nothing to offer. I want you to go in thinking, hey, look, just because I don't have a business card and a title right now, I still am a peer or colleague of this person. And if I had the job I was looking for, I would have no hesitation to go into their office or get on the phone with them and have a human-to-human conversation. So please, I beg you as a job seeker, kind of put away that issue of not feeling like you're good enough and you have nothing to bring to the table, and put on your professional hat and go in and add value to this conversation.
And what do you do that when you take charge of the meeting, when you behave as a peer or a colleague of the person you're meeting with? How does that help your brand, Jason?
Well, I mean, I'm always looking for people to add to my team. I might not have openings right now, but when I go out to eat, I'm looking at how I'm treated by the server staff. When I go to the movies, I look at how the people behind the counter acts. Like, I am always looking. I'm always interested in, would I like to work with this person? Like, do they bring the level of energy or customer service or creativity or whatever that I'm looking for? And so when you go in, if you are that needy, begging job seeker, they're going to see someone who lacks confidence. They're going to see someone who's, you know, they're kind of there, but they don't know why they're there, you know. Contrast that to going in with your list of questions and you have confidence and you're having a peer-to-peer, human-to-human conversation, they're going to be like, yeah, I like this person. Like, I could work with this person. I like the way they think. I like how they have conversations. I wouldn't be embarrassed to bring them into my team. That's the type of branding that I'm looking for.
Number three on your list of four purposes of an informational interview is that you want a professional relationship with the people that you meet. What does that professional relationship look like exactly, Jason?
I almost just said just now, this is probably one of the most important things, although I think all four of these points are really, really important. It is so critical that we walk into an informational interview thinking that this could be a long-term professional relationship. I'm not just there for 20 or 30 minutes to share my brand and learn stuff. And then the fourth point, which we'll get to in a minute, but I really want this to be the beginning of a relationship where maybe I'll come back in a week or a month or 6 months and say, hey, you know, Mac, I really appreciated our time. Here's an article that, you know, that I was reading and it made me think about our conversation. Or, hey, Mac, you know, you mentioned this in our conversation. I'd like to introduce you to somebody that might be able to help you. I want that to happen over time, multiple times. And here's why. When I started my job search in 2006, this was the worst job search in the history of bad job searches. I had no network and I had no brand. And it was like I was starting at zero. And people around me that had relationships, they had these professional relationships, they had people to go talk to. They had someone to say, hey, by the way, I'm in transition again. I'm looking for a role, you know, or do you know anybody at XYZ company or something like that? I want you to build your professional network. And what better opportunity is there than with the person that you just had a 20 or 30 minute conversation with? So the real point of this is, please, after you do this informational interview, don't treat that as a one-time event. please follow up with them, and then follow up with them again later, and then later and later, and just nurture that relationship over hopefully years to come.
What does follow-up look like? What do you mean exactly by that?
Well, I mean, follow-up could be an email where I'm, let me back up a little bit. I'm going to go back to the 1900s. I would suggest that you go down to Walmart or some store and buy dollar, you know, it doesn't have to be expensive at all. Buy a pack of thank you cards. And these are things you can put in the mail and they're physical. And I know, you know, the younger you are, the more you cringe at this, but they're really inexpensive. And you can go to YouTube and learn how to put a stamp on an envelope and send these letters out. People don't hardly get anything like this anymore. So if they get something like this from you, it's actually pretty meaningful, right? So after that first time, and if you don't do that, then that didn't break anything. So keep doing the follow-up stuff. But after that first time, you know, I might send you an email, like I said earlier, like here's an article or here's someone I want to introduce you to on LinkedIn or whatever social network the other person is on. I might write something and tag them. Like there's somebody that does that on LinkedIn with me and it's flattering every time. She'll write something and it's like, she says, I just saw this from Jason Alba, and she'll tag me. And she doesn't really like send me emails and stuff, but I can tell that over time she's interested in me and she's watching my stuff. So for example, let's say the person's working at a company where something newsworthy happens in a positive way, good newsworthy thing. You might go out on LinkedIn and say something like, hey, congratulations to Mac. I just saw this happen at his company. Great job, or something like that. That's a real off the cuff example, but it's a way that you can get in front of them, because when they get tagged, they'll get a notification. You can kind of get in front of them, but really the follow-up is over weeks and months, or the frequency would be weeks and months, where I continue to go back and say, hey, how are things going? I'd like to catch up with you. What's going on in your world? What can I help you with? These are things that I would send maybe every 3 or 4 or 5 weeks over a long period of time, especially if you're relevant in my industry, or you're at an organization I want to work with, or just somehow I know that I want you as a strong network contact.
The fourth and final purpose of informational interviews, you say, Jason, is to get referrals. What kind of referrals do you want to get from in these conversations? And what's the best way to ask?
See, this is where it gets really exciting. And what I really want out of that informational interview, that 20 or 30 minutes that you and I get on the phone, is I want to talk to someone that is closer to my dream job. And so in that 20 or 30 minutes, we're having this conversation. I find out that you know people at one of my target companies. I might say, hey, Mac, I actually am looking at some opportunities over at that organization. Can you introduce me to somebody that works in this department? Or can you introduce me to your friend that you said that you worked with, or something like that? I don't want you to say, you know, here's a name and number, go contact them. My ideal is that you contact them on my behalf and do a virtual, like an email introduction. So if I can walk out of every informational interview getting a referral to someone that's closer to my target organization or my target role, I feel really good about that.
And that's a hard ask for many people to make, Jason. What's your number one tip for how to do that?
It is a hard ask, especially if you feel like you're an introvert or you're not used to asking. My tip is, this is going to sound really weird, but just get over yourself. Like networking and informational interviews, you have to get out of your comfort zone. You are not in a position where you're stealing or you're being an opportunist. You are really trying to make real professional connections. And there's nothing wrong with asking someone if they can introduce you to someone else. So if you're having a problem, you know, maybe practice. But I'll tell you what, the more informational interviews you do, as you learn and share your brand and build these professional networks, relationships, and you ask for referrals, you're going to get better and better at them. And it's actually going to be fun. Even if it's uncomfortable at first, you'll get to a point where it's like, man, this is really fun.
It's been a terrific conversation. Tell us, Jason, what's next for you?
Well, I mean, I'm running four different businesses right now. I have Jibberjobber, which is a CRM for job seekers to help organize and track your job search. And we're revamping that entire system and bringing it up to current look and feel and working on all kinds of things. So a lot of work there. I have a number of Pluralsight courses that I am revising and bringing them back into like 2021, which is really exciting. So I have a lot of just kind of polishing that I'm working on this year and just kind of taking care of the products that I've been building over the last 15 years.
Well, I know people can learn more about you and the products and services you offer by visiting the Jibberjobber website. That's jibberjobber.com. We'll be sure to include that in the show notes. Now, Jason, given all the great advice you shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about why informational interviews are the silver bullet every job search needs?
I think the one thing that I'll say again is that informational interviews is when people say you got to network, it is networking. When people say you got to follow up, it is follow up. Informational interviews is having the right conversations with the right people. It's as simple as that, the right conversations with the right people. This is one of the most effective things you can do in your job search.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests, free job search articles, and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/show notes. Again, that's maxlist.org/show notes. Next week, our guest will be Agnes Zack. She's the CEO at Nonprofit Professionals Now. Her organization offers executive search, temporary staffing, and talent evaluation services. To many applicants, the interview selection process looks like a black box. But Agnes says recruiters use common steps to screen applicants. And if you understand how the process works, you can increase the odds of meeting a hiring manager. Agnes and I will talk about how employers choose finalists for job interviews and what you can do to make it to the final round. I hope you'll join us. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.